Evangelical Christians in America are really at a crossroads, and President Trump has brought us there. Will we fail or pass the test?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a joy to be with you today on The Line of Fire. I've been looking forward to this moment after a blessed and fruitful weekend. I hope you're all doing well. Phone number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A whole lot is going on, and I spent a good amount of the day yesterday interacting with Messianic Jewish friends in Israel, in America, a lot of major things happening. I'll give you a brief glimpse of it, but we're going to do something we've never done before, all right? Our radio broadcast go on just like normal for this next hour. We'll be taking your calls at 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be doing our live stream on Facebook and YouTube. But when the radio show is over, so 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so 56 minutes from now, when the radio show is over, I'm going to keep going. So if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, you'll get this extra bonus time where I give you more in-depth information on what's happening in Israel and how you can pray. So by all means, join us here. And then at the top of the new hour, switch over. If you're not watching on Facebook or YouTube, go to our Facebook or YouTube channels, AskDrBrown, Ask Dr. Brown. I have right here in front of me, in my hands, but I can't hold up on the screen because it's the wrong color and it won't show properly. Finally got the print copies of my new book, When the World Stops, Words of Hope, Faith, and Wisdom in the Midst of Crisis, and big questions on the back cover. What now? Is this pandemic the final plague for Revelation? Are we indeed in the final days before Jesus' return? Who or what sent the virus? See, normally when you write a book, and I'm going to get to Trump and the question about evangelicals passing the test and what I even mean by that. I'm going to get to that in a moment and get your feedback and interact with you. But normally when you write a book, there is a process over many months when the editors are working on your manuscript, the graphics people are laying out the cover, you're going over all of that. The marketing people are working to make sure it gets into as many bookstores as possible. And then, well before the physical publication of the book, you have the final manuscript laid out the way it's going to look, you know, final proofreading that you do and the editors do. Then you get what's called an advanced reader copy. So it's not the final copy, and it may not look as perfect, but you'll have that. And then I'll get in the mail, before anybody else gets the book, I'll get a copy of it sent to me. And our ministry will get copies to send out maybe a week or two before it hits the general public, right? So that's what normally happens. But because God laid it on my heart March 18th to write the book, and then the book came out on March 20th, I finished writing the book March 26th, then the ebook came out April 21st, we've been behind the publisher pushing as quickly as possible to get it printed. So I finally got the print copies, which means all of you who pre-ordered will be getting them signed and sent out to you in the next few days. So thanks for your patience. Okay, what do I mean when I speak about Donald Trump, evangelicals at the crossroads, and passing a test? All right, I have been interacting with people in recent days who are absolutely staunchly opposed to President Trump. They think he's done tremendous damage to America. They think that the way he's led, the kind of person that he's been, the way he's treated others, have brought lasting damage, the type of thing that takes many, many years to recover from. And because evangelicals are associated with him, you know, the Franklin Grahams and the Robert Jeffresses and the Jerry Falwell Jr.'s, major evangelical voices associated with him. There are pictures of evangelicals praying over Trump. There's regular access that evangelical leaders have to the White House and people like Paula White that are controversial, etc. That It then makes all evangelicals look bad. We just look like we're willing to compromise our ethics and our morals for this ungodly, immoral man who's in the White House, and it makes us look bad. It makes our witness look bad. Okay, that's the one viewpoint. Then the other viewpoint is, look, there is a whole system that's messed up. You know, call it the deep state, call it the swamp, as you will. There are hostile international powers like Iran and China that need to be confronted. There's the real conflict over our religious liberties, a real threat to them. There is the battle for the life of the unborn. In other words, big issues. And God uniquely raised up a very unlikely man like Donald Trump, and he is fighting a lot of these battles that need to be fought. It's fine. He might be crude and rude and do certain things that are embarrassing, but overall, it's like a general on the field. The guy's winning the battles that need to be won. He's doing good. So there's division in the evangelical community over this. And some would say, okay, we don't like the way he does a lot of things, but isn't it more important that he fights for the life of the unborn? You think a baby that would have been aborted that is not aborted because of Planned Parenthood not having funding or something like that, you think that baby's going to object and say, well, yeah, the guy that fought for my life was nasty? Or if Trump and Pompeo and others in the administration really pushing against China now and exposing some of the corruption and evil of the communist regime that has gotten much more extreme under President Xi, who's really presenting himself as a modern-day Mao. I mean, the way he's looking and the pictures and the oppression and suppression of the population, it's really dangerous and ugly what's happening. Do you think if ultimately there is a toppling of that regime, you think if ultimately America exposing and speaking the way it does ultimately trickles down to the people of China and there's a move towards democracy, do you think the people affected, the Christians who have been persecuted, others will say, well, we wish Trump hadn't been so nasty? In other words, there's the pros and the cons. What concerns me, friends, and I'll explain what I mean by the test in a moment. What concerns me is that we tend to be like ships passing each other in the night. I just finished writing yesterday. Now I've got to go through the proofing and the editing. A new book, a major book. In other words, not just 100 pages. And by the way, when the world stops, put together in this 8-day period, is 191 pages. So there is grace to get this done, and great job to our publisher to get it out. But I believe I'm going to get this book out fairly soon, you know, in the next month or two, something like that, ideally. And in the book, I try to explain the strengths and the weaknesses of the president and the different sides to the argument, the Christians that support him, the Christians that oppose him, the Christians that think he's the greatest thing that's happened in decades, the Christians think he's the worst thing that's happened in decades. Try to get understanding and then explain how someone can vote for Trump as president without giving their soul or their life to him or putting their identity in his hands. In other words, my identity is in the hands of the Lord. Who I am is my relationship with him, all right? As I've said endlessly, the president gets my vote, the Savior gets my life, my soul, my heart, my all, my being. It's a massive contrast between the two. But again, many of us, our vote for Trump was a vote against Hillary, or in the next election, a vote for Trump. If everything continues the same as for the elections, who knows what's going to happen, right? But all things being equal now, for many, there would be a vote that's more against radical Democratic agendas, and because of that, for Trump. My goal is to get us to come through this process not so divided, more united around Jesus than divided over Trump, because after all, when we stand before God, he's not going to say to us, what did you do with Donald Trump? He's going to say, what did you do with Jesus? Right? And in the end, our fellowship with one another in eternity is not going to be based on who we voted for, but on our love for the Lord and our love one for another. And Jesus did say, did he not, by this, the world will know that you're my disciples by your love for each other. Is the world seeing our love? Okay, as we have different political views, is the world seeing our love as we have different views about Donald Trump? Is the world hearing more about how united we are around Jesus or how divided we are around Trump? The type of person that he is, for better or worse, brings a lot of things up to the surface. The type of person that Donald Trump is has really exposed some of the radical bias of the media, the extreme agenda of the Democrat Party, the existence of what you want to call swamp, deep state, whatever. But the person of Trump has also revealed a lot of division and superficiality and hypocrisy in the church. So to me, what must happen, the way that we pass the test, however we vote, is that at the end of the day, our identification with Jesus is the thing that people know more than anything. At the end of the day, that we are a prophetic voice to the society, not simply an appendage of a party. At the end of the day, that people will know the one that we put our hope and trust in is the Lord and not man. At the end of the day, people will realize that what really matters to us is not defending the behavior of the president, but what really matters to us is fighting for the lives of the unborn and standing for healthy and strong families. That is the goal, friends. Can we pass that test? Or are we going to end up more divided? Are we going to end up more hostile one to another? Are we going to end up with greater divisions? Are we going to end up emulating the president's behavior in our own lives in terms of being nasty and mean-spirited and even immature? Or are we going to step higher? And can we call balls and strikes? In other words, this is right, this is wrong. I agree with this, I disagree with this. Can we do that consistently, friends? Well, then we vote how we vote. And by the way, we don't necessarily need to shout out our political views to the whole world. Sometimes we do. Sometimes it's right to do it, all right? But for me, I'm just saying me personally, I wouldn't put a bumper sticker of a candidate on my car, just me personally. And I wouldn't put a sign up in my yard because that's not how I want to be known and identified. Let it be that I'm known and identified as a follower of Jesus. Oh, and this is how I vote. But let our primary witness be our primary witness. All right, we're going to be right back. A whole lot more to talk about. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Your calls, questions, comments are warmly welcome. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world. Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. I'm going to go to the phones momentarily, but let me lay this out first. We want to make sure where we put our hope and where we put our trust. And I want to confess freely that many times I get caught up with election fever on some level. I don't mean obsessively or constantly or something that affects my walk with God or my emotions, but you know, who's going to win and what's going to happen and what if this one gets in and what if that one gets okay and the Supreme Court go this way, go that way. And I know these are major issues, but many times we act as if whoever we elect is really going to be a world changer. That's just not the case. Oh, listen, think of people who did terrible evil, who plunged their country in a direction of terrible evil, be it a Hitler, be it a Stalin, be it a Pol Pot, be it a Mao, these different leaders that plunged their countries into darkness and much pain and much suffering and much loss of life. We understand that. And then think of, say, a Churchill who fought back against a Hitler and rallied Great Britain to stand. Wonderful. But Churchill did not bring about moral reform in England, nor was he the one to do that. And Reagan he helped bring down the Iron Curtain, did not bring moral reform to America. My point is that leaders can do a lot of damage in terms of plunging a country into destruction, and they can do good in terms of fighting back against political forces that are destructive or international forces that are destructive. But real change, positive change, change in a family, change in outlook, change in lifestyle, that's going to come to a country through the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, through the church. So we don't want to have our hopes misplaced. So here's where I'm at right now. Look, I am a commentator, right? I don't mean biblical commentator. That, by God's grace, I am. Wrote Jeremiah commentary, Job commentary, now in the early stages of Isaiah commentary. Okay. But I am a commentator in terms of I have a daily radio show where we often talk about moral and cultural issues through a biblical lens. And I'm writing columns, normally 5 op-ed pieces a week, and often weighing in on things happening in the society around us, and then putting out tweets and statements and social media and those kind of things. So I'm involved. I'm going to stay involved as long as the Lord wants, as part of his calling on my life to be, quote, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. So if I can do that, be a blessing and be a help in that, wonderful. But I have really sought to resolve in my own heart before the Lord by spending more time in his presence, more time on my knees, more time focused on him, that I will vote my conscience come the fall, assuming we have normal elections come the fall. I will speak to issues that I feel are important to speak to, okay? And let's just say that it's Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. Despite my unhappiness with many of the ways that the president's conducted himself, especially recently during the virus, despite my disagreements with certain things, casting my vote, weighing things, I would easily vote for Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, okay? And if Trump is reelected, if that does happen, then my whole focus is not going to be to back our man in the White House and to defend him at all costs. My whole focus is going to be to advance the kingdom of God through the gospel and to live a godly life and please him and to pray for the president and encourage the right that he does and grieve over the wrong. And if he doesn't get reelected, the kingdom of God still advances. If it's Joe Biden or if it's someone else, the kingdom of God still advances and Jesus is still Lord. And I'm not going to sit around pulling my hair out like, oh, no, because Trump is not anybody's savior. And Biden is not anybody's savior. And no president is anybody's savior. And the Congress is not anybody's savior. And the courts are not anybody's savior. We have only one savior. So with that focus, I understand that sometimes when things get bad in the government, it gets better for the church, meaning the church wakes up. Sometimes the church under persecution does better than the church under prosperity. Now, I don't want us to lose our liberties and rights. I don't want that to be the legacy for our children or grandchildren. I don't want to leave the world in a worse state than when I came into it. At the same time, I understand that the gospel transcends us, that changing lives transcends us, that making disciples transcends this, and that while we are jealous for the life of the unborn, while we are jealous for the plight of the needy, while we are jealous for justice and righteousness, but we are jealous for all of those things. Our hope is in the Lord working by his word and spirit through his people in the society. And everything else, who the president is secondary to that. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, let's start over in St. Louis with Colin. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. So what happened is that for the last 6 years, I started not feeling the presence of God, not ever hearing his voice. And through incrementally, hearing an internal voice, almost like a very faint whisper, I stepped out when it was minimal risk and have gotten to a higher level of accuracy. But I still don't, the majority of the time, don't have certainty. But I would, when it has more risk, I would ask for confirmation. Is there because I'm talking to people and is there biblical insight into stepping out without absolute certainty in regard to a prophetic word, and I don't call myself a prophet currently yet.
Yeah, so you don't even want to designate yourself in a particular way or call yourself a particular thing as much as get more intimate with God and walk with him. So we should all be able to hear the voice of God as New Testament people. Jesus, quoting Isaiah 54 and John 6, says they will all be taught by the Lord, speaking about us, in John 10, that his sheep hear his voice. This is an ongoing case. It's ongoing in the Greek. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. So what's important is that you learn to see how the Holy Spirit leads you. When I started preaching when I was 18 years old, I didn't realize that this is how the Spirit would lead me, but sometimes I would hear the message preached in advance. I'd be in prayer, and I'd hear myself preaching a message, and that's how I felt led as to what topic to speak on. And then I would sometimes hear myself preaching and giving an altar call and ministering to certain people, so I just knew how things were going to unfold, and they did. And then in other ways, you learn to follow the leading of the Lord. So you establish track record, and then you grow in certainty, you know, much as you're saying. But look, if I felt prompted to go over to someone in the mall that was in a wheelchair, right, and I did not have years of experience in healing the sick and years of experience in stepping out in a proven way, hearing the voice of God, and I felt prompted, God's going to heal this person if I pray for them, I would not. If I was uncertain and just growing in this, I would not stop passersby and say, hey, everybody, watch this. You're about to see a miracle in Jesus' name. And say to this person, the moment I touch you, you're going to be healed. Now, when you do that, you have the reputation of the Lord involved. You can bring reproach to the gospel. You can deeply damage that person's emotions. You say, well, what do I do? You go up to them and say, hey, I know you don't know me at all, but would you mind if I prayed for you? You know, would that be okay? There's a lot in the Bible about God working miracles. Would you mind if I prayed for you? And many people would welcome it. They think it's a very nice thing. Well, then you grow and you begin to see God move and more things happen. And over a period of time, you become more confident in hearing the voice of the Lord.
Does it not a sin to grow in terms of, like, minimal risk kind of stuff, like, hey, I feel like this is a word from God, but maybe you got it wrong. Does that mean I'm under the error of false prophecy?
False prophecy, right, false prophecy. Number one, the majority of false prophecy that's condemned in the Old Testament is prophesying in the name of a false god or presumptuously prophesying. If you're trying to hear the voice of the Lord, there's no reason to be announcing, I believe I have a word from the Lord. If you're not feeling certain about this, there's no reason to announce it. It doesn't help anything, all right? And you don't have to grow. It's not that you're going to grow and one day realize, oh, I'm a prophet. That's not how it works. So don't put pressure on yourself. Love the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Meditate on his word. As something rises up in you, And as you worship the Lord, it stays there. Then you step out. Faith is not a risk thing. Like, I'm not sure if it's God, but I think I'm going to try it. You know, I'm going to jump out of this building because I think God told me he's going to catch me. No, we don't do that. All we're going to do is get to heaven quicker if we do that. But when we do feel the Lord telling us to do something, it could be in the scriptures, a command or something he leads us to. The risk is that it's not physically there in front of us. In other words, that, you know, when God called me to teach at a Bible school in Long Island in 83 and spoke to me to quit my job and go teach there, I gave notice on my job before I ever met with anyone official at the school. So it was a step of faith, but you better believe I was moved on by God. So deepen that sense of assurance. Don't try to push yourself. You'll end up making mistakes and bringing reproach to the name of the Lord. Get that foundation more and more solid, and then let there be joy as you step out. And you'll see fruit. And don't try to emulate anybody else. Be obedient to the Lord and honor him. Hey, God bless. We're going to get back to more calls. And yes, a lot of talk by President Trump.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this Monday edition of the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Check out our latest articles posted, our latest videos posted at AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. Also, 27 minutes from now, we're technically 26 and a half minutes from now. So at the top of the hour, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are going to go off radio as we do every day, but continue exclusively on YouTube and Facebook. So if you're watching now, ASKDR Brown on Facebook or YouTube, we're going to continue the feed running when the radio show is over so I can give an extended update on what's happening in Israel regarding God TV and the Shalanu Network and the controversy that is sweeping the Jewish world over this, and one that, by God's grace, hopefully in a positive way, we've been right in the thick of. Okay, before I go to your calls, let me see if this was the case with many of you in terms of your relationship to Donald Trump, all right? I'm not presuming to know how can I know who, when I say you, presuming to know how you voted or what you're thinking? Obviously, you is a different person for each person listening and watching, okay? So I don't know how each of you voted, but many, tell me if this was not the process for many, okay? That during the primaries, let's say that you were planning to vote for a Republican candidate, okay, for various platform reasons, et cetera. And maybe, like me, you like Ted Cruz, you preferred him. Or maybe you like Marco Rubio. Maybe you like Ben Carson or Mike Huckabee or someone else. But you didn't like Trump. You didn't like his personality. You didn't like his past. You thought he was untrustworthy. Just remember the way we thought about Trump or the unlikelihood of him winning. You know, when he was ahead on all the polls, like, that's going to fade. I remember talking to a political insider. He said, yeah, we pretty well agree he's gonna fade. Like Herman Cain started out and then he faded. It's going to be the same with Trump. All right. And, you know, that was kind of the expectation. And he was rude and he was crude and he was nasty and he had an immoral past and, you know, no real connection with the pro-life movement or standing for religious values or things like that. So I'm thinking, yeah, he's going to do what he can to get evangelical votes and then dump us if he gets in. You know, I mean, that was my concern, right? So as one colleague said, out of 16 candidates, he was my 17th choice, all right? So that's what happens, right? He ends up getting ahead. He ends up gaining momentum. He ends up winning the Republican nomination. Now it's him versus Hillary Clinton. At this point, I'm thinking, maybe there is something to this. People saying that God has a unique purpose in raising him up, just like Cyrus, who was an idol-worshipping pagan, and God raised him up to bless the Jewish people and to rebuild Jerusalem. Maybe God's going to use Trump, a very unlikely candidate. Well, it could be. I mean, the whole time when I was speaking against him and writing against him, my position was, I hope I'm wrong. I hope all my negative expectations are wrong. And if it's him versus Hillary Clinton, then I'll reassess my position. I said that all along, all right? Now, many of the warnings I issued were true. I mean, it's been a lot of damage, Trump being who he is. On the other hand, warnings I issued about he's going to let us down or so, he hasn't. I was wrong about my concerns there. And again, I said, I hope I'm wrong when I was writing the things. So it ends up, I kind of vote for him. Yeah, I'm going to vote for him. A little reluctant. I couldn't vote for Hillary. So in my mind, I was primarily voting against Hillary in voting for Trump, to be candid with you, all right? And otherwise, maybe just sit out the election. But then he's surrounded by evangelicals, and he doesn't push us away. And then he begins immediately to stand up for things he said he'd stand up for and push back on different things. Like, wow, what a surprise. And then, even before he's elected, or even after he's elected, before he even starts and gets inaugurated, the radical attack from the media and this attack and that attack and whatever it is, collusion with Russia, or he's mentally unstable, or is this or that. It's just, and it's incessant and it's nonstop. And now, emotionally, you start to want to defend him more. Because after all, he's fighting for our causes. Everybody's being so nasty to him. And now he kind of fights back. It's like, okay, well, somebody had to do that. And I'm glad. All right, good. Let him fight back. It's a little rough about it, but we need somebody to fight back. And then it gets to the point where the critics become more and more harsh, where he acts in ways that are just wrong, period. You know, calling people dogs and getting involved with private people's lives that, I mean, just not major politics, you know, just whatever, saying things and blasting people and attacking and obviously exaggerating here and not being accurate there. But now, well, we got to defend him. And somehow we crossed a line. Somehow we crossed a line. Instead of saying, hey, I voted for him, and I really appreciate the good he's doing, and I think he's treated unfairly, but I don't like this, and I disagree with this, and I wish he wouldn't do that. We got away from that, and in the process, hurt our witness. I don't know if that's the case with you. Maybe if you look at it, it might be. But, you know, what's mind-boggling to me, just to be totally candid with you, as I always am, is that I'll post something about double standards, all right? And then people on each side will say, yeah, the left is totally double standard. And the people on the right, on the other side, yeah, the right is totally double standard. It's like, don't you understand you're both doing it? Don't you understand you're both guilty of bias? Don't you understand? And I'm not claiming to have perfect sense in it. No, of course not. I've been wrong on different things. No, I'm not claiming to have perfect perception. But it boggles my mind when I will present something and say, hey, let's just treat everything fairly. Equal weights and equal measures. That's all I'm asking for. That's all I'm asking for. In other words, all the sexual assault accusations against Trump, you know, 20-something women at different times came forward and said, yeah, he did this or he did that, okay? And if you're a Trump supporter, where'd they come from? Why now? And then the accusations against Brett Kavanaugh, it's like, these are crazy. Just dismiss them out of hand. And then accusations against Joe Biden, we need to take these seriously. And then you flip it around, and the people who were saying, Trump, come on, he's guilty, Kavanaugh, come on, we believe the women. Now the accusations come about Biden, it's like, she's obviously unreliable. These ladies can't be trusted. It's like, oh, we don't recognize how we are using unequal weights and measures? How about fairness? How about treating each situation the same and say, okay, let's look into this. If it's valid, then we need to act on it. And it means we're being lied to today by these candidates. If it's not accurate, then there should be some repercussions for the people bringing false charges. But let's just be consistent. That's what God wants us to be. Am I making sense to you? I hope as I get this new book out about evangelicals at the crossroads and where will we pass the test? I think it's going to be tremendously helpful to you and ultimately something that can help us unite around Jesus even while we still have divisions about the president. All right, I'm going to get to your Trump calls in a moment. First, call from Justin in Georgia. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Dr. Brown. So my question is regarding how to discern whether I'm hearing from God or my own thoughts. And here's my example. A couple weeks ago, I was praying, and I felt like I received peace at first about going outside of this Kroger back home and preaching on open air. And I ended up not going the first time and didn't feel bad. Then I went back the next day to try and do it. Didn't do it again. I got afraid. And then I just started thinking to myself, you know, like, am I really surrendered? And I started to think, you know, what if the Lord called me to go into Walmart and preach or go anywhere in any store or something and start to do that? And I started to get very afraid and I started to think if I was really surrendered and committed because, you know, would I be willing to do these things? And I began to get very afraid and I began to be just kind of tormented in my mind in a sense. And I felt like I started off with peace about it, but then it ended really bad. And I was like wondering how to discern if this is really the Lord in it at all, because, you know, what made me question the most was, you know, if I'm really surrendered or not under like the terms of, you know, Luke 14 and following Christ in that way, or also like in Revelation 14 about following the Lamb wherever he goes. And I just kind of afraid, you know, if I didn't do that, I wasn't, or didn't really know if that was speaking to me or not.
Yeah, Justin, these are valid questions, and I appreciate your devotion to the Lord and wanting to honor him. First, if you didn't love the Lord, you wouldn't be troubled over this. If you weren't a serious believer, you wouldn't even be asking yourself these questions. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that God is not just kind of dangling a carrot and pulling it away and kind of playing games with us. He wants us to learn to know his voice and be led by him. It's important. Many times there are critical decisions we make in the job, in our family, or in ministry that we need sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Word of God lays out the general principles that we go by, but then sometimes we need specific leading or wisdom from the Lord, even beyond counsel we receive. So it's good to be secure in that, but understand that you're dealing with your loving Heavenly Father. And yes, he teaches us and he trains us, but not in a way where you have to beat yourself up, because once you get into fear and introspection, then you're really out of faith. It breaks your sense of fellowship with God because you're more conscious of your feelings and thoughts. So at a time like that, the best thing to do is step back and just determine to worship the Lord, honor him, meditate on his word, and then come to that place and say, Lord, you know that I want to obey you and I want to serve you. And if it was written black and white on the page here, by your grace, I'd do it, Lord. And look, we've all had to deal with fear. I remember I was preaching once to a church on Long Island, and when I used to take the subway, the train into New York City, sometimes someone would get up on the subway and preach. You know, you'd have a cult getting up and doing something. And I just felt to encourage some of the people in that church that were real strong believers that run the subway regularly. I said, hey, you know, if God ever speaks to you to get up on the subway and preach, too. I mean, people commonly would do that, and it was perfectly legal to do it. And suddenly this thing dropped in my heart. You have to go to the city this week, don't you? Why don't you do it? I thought, no. But it was the Lord, and I did it. You know, and it's no big deal, but leading up to it, I had to battle fear and all this, but I knew he dropped it in my heart. So come get to a place of peace before the Lord. Get away from the anxiety, because he doesn't lead like that. And just, Lord, whatever you want, I'll gladly do it. You drop it in my heart, Lord, and it stays there. I have a witness, Lord. Gladly will I do it. Now, to go into a Walmart and start preaching, that would be disruptive. That would be disturbing the peace in that way. But to go to an open-air place where you can get up and preach, and hey, let the Lord lead, but let him lead with joy and with peace. To say, Lord, if this is really you, just put a joy in my heart about it. And you know I'll go for it. Be at peace, man. Don't be so hard on yourself. We'll be right back with your Trump call.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So very, very simply, friends, when it comes to politics, when it comes to voting, when it comes to patriotism, first things first, gospel first, Jesus first, devotion to God first, everything else falls into place accordingly. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start with, no, we won't go there. Let's start with Bob in Tampa, Florida. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
You're doing a wonderful job, as always. I so much admire what you do, and I thank you for what you do. So a few things. First of all, if people want to know whether or not President Trump is a Christian, Google Trump and Christian leaders, and you will get an education that might just defeat the brainwash that so much of the media has done to the American people in the 3.5 years he's been president. I worked for an NBC affiliate. I won't tell you which one so that I can speak freely. And I worked in a newsroom for a period of time with over 30 people in that newsroom. Every single one of them was either an agnostic or an atheist. Mm. Every single one of them was a hardcore leftist. And there were a couple of stories. The last year I was there, which was the first year of Trump's presidency, and there was one story that that affiliate ran, and they ran it for a few days in a row, and everyone knew it was a lie. And I said to the assignment editor, I had a conversation with him and another person, where what you're putting on TV is a lie. Why are you doing it? Guy looks at me stone cold, and he says to me, it's not my duty or my obligation to tell the truth. It's my obligation to get Donald Trump out of the White House.
Mm.
That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with this, you know, this is another point. We don't have a civil war in the United States. There's nobody shooting at anybody, and that's not going on. But we do have a civil war in the media. We have a civil war between I can see it vividly, between people that are on Christ's side and people that are on Satan's side. And the people that are on Satan's side will use a lie as the foundation for their argument, as the foundation for their battle. And I look at Trump, and yes, he does have faults. He was my fifth choice. Ben Carson was my first, and then right on down to Trump, where I finally said, okay, I'll vote for Trump. I didn't have much confidence or faith in him, but I watch him. I watch him on C-SPAN. I watch him on One American News Network. So I see the real Donald Trump, not what the media paints him as. And I see a man who is in love with this country. He's devoted to it. Does he do arrogant things? Yeah. Does he say things that he shouldn't say sometimes? Absolutely. But does he want the best for America? There's no question about it in my mind. I would love to see, because he has, you know, Jeffers and other people that are around him, and I respect those people. But I'd love to see sometime you as an advisor to this president, because he would do even better if he had you as an advisor. And I just called you to let you know my experience at NBC News at a local affiliate up north. It was scary.
Yeah, it's important to hear that perspective. If you think, for example, major surveys have been done of media in America, and the ones surveyed are overwhelmingly far left in terms of their abortion views and their views on homosexuality and other things that are hot button issues with conservative Christians and things like that. And I understand there's bias on all sides, and many times it's just a matter of getting someone to tune in. But the level of animosity towards Trump or get rid of him at any cost, yeah, that's become evident. And Bob, I appreciate the kind words. I have great respect for some of the men that are very close to President Trump, and pray that they can be a blessing and influence in his life. And I'm happy to be a voice right here. I am. But thank you, sir, for the call and sharing that. Appreciate it. Does anyone doubt the veracity of that story? In other words, that is so believable to me based on where a lot of the secular media is. Yeah. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Canada. Jules, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you again, Dr. Michael Brown. I just want to first, before I get to my topic, I'm grateful for people like yourself. We need your channel. We need you, a man of God, to give us a chance to speak out. I thank you for that. I want to say thank you first.
You're welcome.
So I just want to get into my topic. I think we got to be careful about this left-right political paradigm shift that, you know, if you're a Christian, you have to vote right-wing, and if you're agnostic atheist, you have to vote left-wing. I think that's very dangerous. I'll be honest with you. I'm a Canadian, and I'm like an outsider looking to your situation politically. But this is a global situation, not a country or another country situation. This is global. This is important. I was glad when Trump won the election. The reason why, it was quite simple, because the mainstream media did not want him to win. That's why I cheered for Donald Trump. There's no question mm-hmm. about it.
Yeah.
So that I must mention. But I got to mention this. I don't care if I get poisoned very fast or I get poisoned very slowly. I don't want any poison. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have to talk about this. This is very important, Dr. Brown. This situation about Bill Gates, the power that should not be telling the planet, everyone on the planet, to take a vaccine forcefully. That's the big fear. When our liberties in the world, not just USA, not just Canada, I'm not just mad at Trudeau, I'm not just mad at the the Democratic Party.
And Jules, let me just jump in. Tell our listeners here around the world, but in America, tell them what Prime Minister Trudeau did regarding guns in your country.
Totally, yes, and I will mention that. Now, he is catering, but this is such window dressing on a, you know, putting lipstick on a pig. You know, what I mean is, you're right, he is banning all type of if he could, he'd ban sharp knives. You're absolutely right, Michael Brown. He would ban lawn darts. He would ban that playing of lawn darts.
Right, so there's been a major ban on many different weapons in Canada after another mass shooting, and then the concern, you know, people saying, look, that's why you can't have certain people in office in America, etc. Jules, let me say this, which is important, and thank you for your kind words, sir. It is and I wrote this in this book that will be out pretty soon about evangelicals at the crossroads, that ultimately the division in America, in the world, is not between conservative liberal, between Republican Democrat, between right and left. The ultimate division is between light and darkness, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Even though I agree with the majority of the Republican platform historically in recent years over against the Democrat platform, I do not put my trust in a party. I mean, you got all the politicizing and all the corruption and all the humanity and the whole system, all right? So ultimately, what we – and yeah, we vote. It's part of our prerogative and privilege here. Absolutely. But ultimately, we've got to put our emphasis on the bigger and the larger issues. And Jules, you mentioned Bill Gates. Obviously, many are not fans of Bill Gates, and many put their trust in Bill Gates. I mean, he's risen up to be this influential figure. But the idea of a forced vaccine or a world government ordering a certain thing, you know, Trump tends to be the enemy of that type of stuff, which is why you mentioned it's global, you know, so... Look, and thank you, Jules, for the call. I'm sure you had much more to say as well, but let's focus on these points. So when I was in Australia earlier this year, right before the travel ban, the gentleman who picked me up at the airport and drove me to the first place where I was staying was from China and now an Australian citizen. And I asked him, how do you feel about President Xi? He said, oh, very bad, very, you know, dangerous, evil, all this. His parents are still there. He's concerned. I said, how do you feel about Donald Trump? He goes, he's a hero. And I related that some weeks back. But that was his perspective in terms of Trump is standing up to China, etc. In any case, friends, we are your voice. And if you believe in what we're doing, help us. We have open doors right now as I speak. Open doors to reach many more people. We don't have to do one more thing than we're doing. In other words, the the broadcast is what it is, and everything we're doing is what it is. Everything is set in place. We don't have to add a drop anything, and we could reach many, many more people with your help. It's that simple. You can help amplify our voice. So would you prayerfully consider standing with us, becoming one of our monthly partners, a torchbearer. So that's $1 a day or more to become a torchbearer. And I want you to go to our website. Would you take a minute to do that? AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. If you listen for years, you know we don't talk about money much. Say, where does it come from? Well, we pray it in, and we work hard to bring it in however we can through various means, godly means, to support this work, to get the message out to you. That's why we exist. That's why we're here, to glorify the Lord and minister to you and touch a lost world. And we're on the front lines in many, many key areas. But would you take a minute, go to AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org, and then click on Donate Monthly, and then look at the benefits you get as a torchbearer. There's a short video you can watch. All the ways we pour back into you every single month, free online classes. I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars of resources made available to you as a partner as we pour back into you as you help us reach more and more people. So thank you for your solidarity and support. And we've never done this before, but everyone listening on radio, if you can, switch over to YouTube now. Go to my YouTube channel, Ask Dr. Brown, AskDrBrown on YouTube. About 30 seconds from now, We are going to continue broadcasting on YouTube. I have an important update about major things happening with the gospel in Israel right now.